Good. Let's get Mike Garofalo right now on from the NFL Network. Mike, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, what's going on? Lance, is that you?
It's me. What's going
all
on,
right,
baby?
Sorry, I got a very low. Okay, all right. I think we're good.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's not great on our end for people listening, by the way. But we can hear you, but hopefully we can turn it up for you a little bit so you can hear us. So it's really different now because we used to wait until the magical whatever it was, 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock midnight, 10 o'clock midnight, whatever it was, 10 o'clock PM on the day. And then, what's going to happen? We all know everyone's got these secret deals. What's going to happen? Now, everything's being announced, and free agency basically has started before it started. Just quickly, how do you like that better?
You know, what I didn't like was when it started at midnight, and we would stay up and try and break deals at 12:30, 1 a.m., and very little would happen, and you'd wind up staying up the whole night. And then you'd wake up in the morning, and then it would really start then. And teams would tamper then. Somebody wants a shout-out. You got a big audience, man. I'm getting a text from somebody who wants a shout-out. But I'll tell you what, if that person gives me a scoop, maybe I'll give that person a shout-out. How about that? Anyway, it used to be at midnight, and teams would tamper then. It would be right at the combine. Stuff would be done. There's always going to be a beat the system. So if you turn this tampering period into just the start, let's say it just started 2 days ago, everything's open, then teams would be talking the weekend before. So what they tried to do was make it a period where everybody's going to talk and nobody was going to agree to or announce deals. But frankly, that just happened. I do sense that they'll make a change at some point and try and make it, because it's all about us and the TV and making it an event. How do you best do that? Not the way it's set up right now, because the analogy I made on Good Morning Football this morning on NFL Network was, it's like when you log on to buy tickets for a concert and you get in like a minute after it opens, and you go, oh, I'm going to get a great seat, and already you're up in the rafters and everything else is already gone. That's the way it feels to me with free agency right now.
Mike Garofalo with the NFL Network here on ESPN 97.5. Is there a chance we have a DeAndre Jordan who agreed to terms with Dallas and then when it was time to sign, he stayed with the Clippers? Is there a chance that anything crazy happens today?
You know, it's funny because there's just been so much. With the trade, there's been so much. I mean, starting with Alex Smith, we were at the Super Bowl. It was in January when that happened. And I between all the agreements and the trades that we've agreed to, I was kind of checking in and saying, okay, who's the guy that's going to back out? Who's the team that's going to back out? Where's the physical that's going to blow up a trade because the guy's medicals don't come back the right way? And I haven't heard any yet. It's just one of those things where you try and make sure that all your bases are covered. You don't want your own reporting to blow up. So we will we'll continue to monitor that. Everything I've checked on to double back, everything is on schedule. Everything is the way it's supposed to be.
So John and I talked about this a little bit, Mike. The Kirk Cousins deal looks like it could potentially be a massive game changer, so much so that Doug Baldwin basically tweeted out saying, thank you to Kirk Cousins for finally getting a contract that was fully guaranteed. Yeah. The NFL, unlike basketball, unlike baseball, they don't have fully guaranteed deals, and of all the sports, that's the one that probably should require it based on the amount of, the danger of the sport and the short-term nature because of how physically debilitating it can be. Cousins getting 3 years guaranteed now, doesn't this mean that every agent in the book is going to go after fully guaranteed deals? Like, that's the new bar. Everyone's going to expect that now, right?
I appreciate Doug Baldwin saying that. However, you got to have the leverage and the opportunity to do it.
And you got to be a level player, right? A tier one player. I mean, you got to be a high end quarterback.
Well,
probably.
But I guess you got to be a quarterback because Kirk Cousins is not a tier one quarterback.
No.
Well, he's a starting caliber quarterback. I mean, look, it depends on how big your tier one is. Basically, no, he's not one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, but he's upper echelon. I mean, if you're going 1 to 32, he's not 17 to 32. He's 1 to 16 somewhere if you're going to rank them. And these guys don't hit the market. So between the you got the tag game that Washington played to allow him to get to the market. In a regular situation, he's getting tagged, and the team is doing everything they possibly can do to really lock the guy up. And they're not going to offer, if they're bidding against themselves, they're not going to offer the fully guaranteed deal. They'll give him guaranteed money for 3 years into the deal, but they're going to tack on their non-guaranteed years on the back end, which are basically team options. That's the way it works. The only way this thing is going to change overall is if somehow, some way in the CBA, the union negotiates that. I just don't see that happening. And the other end of this is they've got that funding rule that if you fully guarantee money, the teams have to fund that. The teams have to put that money up right away. I've had those conversations with the union and say, well, why aren't you fighting to get rid of that rule? Because don't you think that a lot of teams, and they believe that it is a red herring, that if they got rid of that rule, that teams would find another excuse to not do fully guaranteed money. I don't know about that. I think that that's a big problem, because even though these guys, the argument they made was, look at all the money that some of these guys, Paul Allen, some of these other guys, do you think they care about putting $50 million in reserve? Yeah, I do, because rich guys don't like to touch their own money when they don't have to. That's the way it works. You know?
Yeah, I think what's tricky about this, Mike, is that fully guaranteed. Okay, so we hear contract numbers. We always know that at least one and maybe two of the years are potentially fluff years where a player could be cut, and it makes more sense to cut them and take some dead hit versus what the salary is going to be. They're still going to save money. It's a mechanism to hang on to the player a little bit longer, give the owner, the team, a little bit of leverage. What this will do, though, now is, you will have to shorten contracts for some of these quarterbacks. And I think more and more quarterbacks are going to look at this as, hey, let's do the LeBron method with the Cleveland Cavs, and let's just sign two-year. If we're a really good quarterback, let's only sign 2 or 3 year deals and get us to the market even quicker once the market has been reset.
But not just quarterbacks. I mean, if you're going to go the route of everybody's going to have a fully guaranteed contract,
everybody.
Well, now these deals that these linebackers are signing for 3 years, or these running backs are signing for 4 years, are now going to be shrunk down to 1 or 2 year deals. I mean, that's what's going to happen. And if you're okay with that, if you're fine with that as a player, it's basically what you're getting now. But the only difference is you're not going to have those non-guaranteed. So you're going to continue to hit free agency.
Oh, yeah, it's a big win. It's a big win for the players.
It's a huge win, but teams are going to push back against that because they don't want that. They want to have the chance to build teams and know that guys are going to potentially be in place for years to come.
Mike Garofalo with us, NFL Network. Who you like? Who's done the best job this free agent season?
I'm not just playing to the home crowd. I really do believe that the Texans are doing some good things down there with the signing of Aaron Colvin. I know that he's been talked about by a lot of us national media. Oh, they signed a nickel cornerback. I gather that he's a little bit more versatile in their eyes, and they think that he can play in a number of different places. I know that with Bill O'Brien and with Brian Gain and everybody kind of being on the same page down there, that a lot of the things they wanted to do was to, A, get bigger and stronger as a team, but also to get faster on the back end of that defense, and they did it with Colvin. I mean, it's just, yeah, he can cover in the slot. He can cover between the numbers. You have to be able to do that in the NFL these days. I also like the Fulton signing. He's a 6'5", what is he, 6'5", 330? He's a monster, too.
Right. Zach Fulton, yeah. So you get a center guard. You add two tackles. Well, we'll see what happens. What's the latest with Nate Solder? So I know you've had some connections with the Giants in years past. It sounds like the Giants and Texans are the two teams that are in the running for Nate Solder. Where does that stand now?
And when Solder came out, Lance, I was covering the Giants at the time for the Star Ledger, and I had projected Nate Solder as their pick because I know how much they loved him at the time. And Dave Gettleman was with the Giants at the time. He had yet to leave for Carolina. And I know that they would have loved to have taken him. They just never got to them in that draft there. So with Eric Flowers, their left tackle, struggling, I thought coming into free agency that they were going to be one of his top suitors. I was actually surprised to hear, Texans, Patriots early on. I don't know quite when the Giants emerged, but they are definitely in on it. I was also told the Browns are making a run at Solder, which is interesting to me because Does that mean that they expect Joe Thomas to retire? I mean, why would you sign Solder if you expected Thomas to come back? So to me, it sounds like for Nate, you know, he's got a personal situation with his son who has a form of cancer and has been getting treatments and wanting to stay close to the doctors in Boston. Look, there's great doctors in New York, obviously. There's also great doctors in Cleveland. The Cleveland Clinic is really good for that. And there's also great doctors down there in Houston. But it's going to have to be a comfort level combined with the financials for Nate Solder right now. And I could see him being comfortable in both spots. I think it's a really interesting, really tough decision for Nate Solder right now.
Well, really, you know, I look at free agency, Mike. It's a, if you try to build your core via free agency, you're destined to fail because you have to, you cannot afford any leeway in missing on those type of expensive free agents because you're paying a premium price for someone else, for a player someone else got cheaper. But when you kind of band-aid and peroxide things up, like Colvin is to me a peroxide guy who helps you get a little better. Zach Fulton is that. And then Chantrell Henderson from the Bills, who really hasn't played much at all over the last 2 years, but will be given a chance to start. And then Nate Solder, if you can land him, they give you a little bit of a buffer so you don't have to freak out and try to do something stupid in a tackle light year anyway. This is not going to be a great year for tackles.
Exactly. You hit it on the head. Exactly. This draft is not a big tackle year, from what I gather. And Houston has no first and no second, right? I'm remembering
right,
that correctly?
Correct. You're correct.
Yeah, and they've got a couple of third-round picks, so they knew that they were going to have to do a couple of things in free agency. And with Henderson, he's going to have a chance to start. You know, Gain was up there in Buffalo the last 2 years, was it? So he's familiar with Henderson, so the fact that he's signing off on this tells me that he's certainly seen enough from Henderson here that he believes that he's got a shot to come in and play. Deals for 1 year up to $4 million. So, you know, there's upside here for both sides on this deal. And if it works out, you got yourself a pretty good, pretty athletic player.
Mike Garofalo right here, NFL Network on ESPN 97.5. Well, let's check in again soon. Great stuff, Mike. Great talking to you. We appreciate you being here.
Listen, I love Houston. I got some friends down there, including my friend Jeff Nally from Select Sports Group, who wanted a shout-out. He's going to get a shout-out. Although, he's not my favorite there. Eric Burkhart's my favorite, but Jeff is like
Eric's
my one
great guy. Yeah, Eric's a much better guy than Jeff. There's no question. don't worry. Jeff always sets us straight during the show, usually setting Lance straight and telling him that I'm right about stuff. So
there you go. I love it.
Oh, that's a whole separate argument about combine interviews and stuff like that. Okay. We'll have to get into that another time.
That's another time.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate you. Thanks. There's Mike Garofalo right here on ESPN 97.5.